Hundreds of protesters on the streets of Nigeria's capital, Abuja, this week signify a growing crisis over the fate of 129 kidnapped girls, according to the government. But others say it's more like 187 girls being held captive for more than a week by the terrorist group Boko Haram.
We really want to plead with government, international community, to come and help us. We want these girls rescued so that even the younger generation will have confidence in the government that they can help us.
That's a mother of one of the kidnapped girls. Protesters say the government is not doing enough to free them, and now there are reports that the girls are being forced into marriages with the militants. Here's Nigeria's Interior Minister Abba Moro answering BBC questions about the government response to the crisis.
Efforts have been made to locate these girls and rescue them.
But are you telling me then that the military has not located them yet?
If the military divulges its operational mechanism, I mean, between me and you, you will understand that it's like giving away the security of those persons that are involved.
Joining me now is Alexis Okewo, a freelance journalist based in Lagos. She has reported on the kidnappings for NewYorker.com. Alexis, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It does seem as though this event that's unfolding in Nigeria has the potential of truly shaking up almost everything that's going on in Nigeria right now, from the confrontation with the terrorist Boko Haram to just the basic relationship between Nigerians and their own government.
Exactly. I mean, the crisis has already taken a toll on the economy. It's taken a toll on the political relations. And yes, now it's really fractured the relationship between Nigerians and their government. A lot of Nigerians don't place the same amount of trust they used to in their leaders.
Where does it stand at this point in terms of what the government says it's doing and what people, particularly the protesters who are on the streets, believe is going on?
Well, the problem is that the government is not saying much. We've heard very little from President Jonathan. We've heard various senators say that a drastic military action needs to be taken. But all we're hearing from the military is that a search is ongoing and that things have intensified. But we haven't seen any results, and we haven't heard really anything significant since they said right after the kidnapping that they had discovered or rescued most of the girls, but they actually hadn't. And so protesters are really questioning if a military operation is even happening, if there's a serious effort to get the girls right now, which is a pretty terrifying question.
What is the perspective of parents and educators in Nigeria? What voices have you heard there?
Well, the parents are obviously devastated, and they really feel failed by their government, and they feel really disillusioned. They try to take things into their own hands, but it's impossible to go after terrorists unarmed. And educators, you know, I mean, they're feeling very regretful because, I mean, it was the decision of local education officials in the town of Chibok to open the school briefly, even though there had been attacks in other schools, so that the girls could take the final exams, and it backfired. The girls were kidnapped. And so I think parents and educators are feeling guilt and devastation and loss, and just wondering why they haven't heard more from their government on what they're doing to get these girls.
What about the vulnerability of young women, young girls, young students? There have been students who've testified, who escaped from the custody of Boko Haram, and their voices are being heard.
Yes. I mean, you know, unfortunately, we've heard in the past that when Boko Haram has kidnapped women and young girls, that they've used them as sex slaves and they've forcibly taken them as wives and forced them to become pregnant. And so we fear that this fate may await these girls. We already know that they were forcing the girls to perform tasks like cooking and cleaning and gathering firewood and water. And so it's a huge fear that these militants will force these girls to do even more horrific things.
In your reporting, what have you heard from people who actually observed the captivity before they escaped?
Yes, I spoke to one girl, Deborah, and it was a terrifying experience. You know, at least 200 girls were taken by these militants into a sort of bush, a couple of villages away in a remote area. And you know, already the militants were just sort of telling them to be patient, and they were already ordering them to do certain tasks, but it was unclear what was the end goal. And so the girl I spoke to was able to escape mere hours after she was taken to one of Boko Haram's camps. And now things are unknown. We hear various eyewitness reports that maybe these girls have been paired off with the militants, but nothing can be confirmed right now.
Are there any specific demands from Boko Haram, aside from their incomprehensible mission to return Nigeria to a pre-modern state?
Yes. I mean, when Boko Haram first started over a decade ago, its aim, it said, was to have an Islamic state, to have a return to a pure Islamic society free of political corruption. Now that aim has become completely warped. We don't know what they want besides to create fear and terror, because they now say they're waging jihad and that, you know, they're committing a huge amount of violence in the name of jihad. But it's unclear as to what they actually want now besides just wreaking havoc.
Alexis Okewo, no one would suggest that the government of Nigeria condones the capture of young women. But I'm wondering, and again, theorizing here, is it possible that part of the hesitation and ambivalence of the government in its response, or seeming ambivalence of the government in its response, relates to the fact that perhaps people in the Nigerian government, in majority Islam Nigeria, believe that the education of women is somehow a controversial issue, and that Boko Haram has them on a political issue that has some sensitivity here?
Well, first, I mean, the country is not majority Islam. It's I would say half-half, a split between Christian and Muslim. And the federal government is currently a Christian Southern leadership. So I don't think it's much about not believing education should be for women. I think it's more about that there's been a long practice of the government looking the other way. But because this is happening in the remote Northeast, the government has been able to not pay enough attention to what's going on, as long as it's been this isolated insurgency. But now as it creeps into the capital, Abuja, and it now as more horrific acts keep happening, I think it's going to be forced to stop looking the other way.
Alexis Okewo is a freelance journalist based in Lagos. She recently reported on the kidnappings, where you can read her reporting at thenewyorker.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.